SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
In Sweden, we believe in just the right amount. Embracing balance, minimalism and simplicity. Something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice. Between petrol, plug-in hybrid and fully electric. There's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you. Volvo.
You're listening to SBS News.
For the first question, what is the situation in Iran currently when it comes to water? And why has it gotten to this point?
Iran is water bankrupt and is now facing a situation that is totally unprecedented with its capital, Tehran, the richest and most populous city of Iran, having only a few days of water left. And this is not only restricted to Tehran, some of its big metropolitans are also facing the same situation. It's the sixth year of a drought. The new water year started on October 1st, yet the first weeks of this year, there has not been any precipitation. And this is something that no one can remember, at least over the last few decades. The water bankruptcy situation in Iran is the product of years of mismanagement, lack of foresight, and over-reliance on technology, dismissing the fact that water can be a limit to growth, exacerbated by a long drought and climate change.
And how severe is this water crisis in Iran?
This is no longer a crisis. A crisis can be mitigated. At least when a crisis occurs, we have some hope that mitigation is possible. This is a point of failure. We have already passed the stage of crisis in Iran, and the system is facing a bankruptcy situation, meaning that consumption is far more than the available resources. And as a result, there are some damages that are irreversible. The Iranian officials must admit that bankruptcy has happened, and mitigation and adaptation at the same time are required. A lot of experts have been warning the government, the system about this for maybe decades. I myself wrote my first paper on Iran's water crisis, I think, in 2002 or 2003, and since then have been working on this issue, yet the government and the officials dismiss the reality and severity of the problem.
You've been commenting on this space for a long time and warning about this for a very long time. How does it feel seeing this situation now unfold?
I feel miserable. There are two things I care about as an Iranian. I care about my land, Iran, its nature and the environment. And then I care about the people of Iran. Why do we need water for the two of them? And if they're suffering, there is nothing to be proud of. I don't care if those projections or predictions were correct. What I care about is their status. In science, we make a lot of mistakes. So I wish all those projections and whatever I said were wrong. That would have, seeing them happier would have made me happier. But the people of Iran are very kind. They keep sharing all those stuff, like the old quotes, interviews, going back to, two decades ago, saying, "This poor guy who you accused of espionage and working for the enemy told you all of this. And you called him a water terrorist.
Tehran.
Iran has had episodes of water shortage when dealing with droughts in certain parts of the country. Drought is nothing new to Iran. Persians had learned to deal with drought for thousands of years. So We cannot claim that drought is something that the Iranians are unfamiliar with. But droughts were not happening at this level of intensity with this, you know, frequency and at this scale that they cover the whole nation. When water is short, you always first cut from the environment. That's the voiceless stakeholder, the silent stakeholder. Then water shortages affect the farmers, then industry, and the last affected group are the residents of urban area. The fact that this issue now has reached Tehran, and Tehran is talking about day zero, the day that the taps would be dry, means that we are at the worst possible situation. And at this point, there are only two solutions left. One is to beg the citizens to reduce less water and cut water from them when you're short. And the other is to beg the skies to rain. And unfortunately, this is not something under your control. And in a situation of Iran, the citizens are also not very cooperative because they have the knowledge of the warnings that many scientists have given the system many years ago, the experts telling the government that they had to change their policies. Because this didn't happen at the time, now the citizens are asking why they should be the ones suffering the most from this.
In Sweden, we believe in just the right amount. Embracing balance, minimalism, and simplicity. Something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice. Between petrol, plug-in hybrid, and fully electric, there's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you.
In Tehran,
I don't think anyone knows exactly when Tehran would run out of water. We have multiple reservoirs around Tehran. Most of them have less than 10% of storage. Some of these reservoirs are already at the dead storage level, meaning that water is no longer usable from these reservoirs. But Tehran also has been using a lot of groundwater during the time of drought. Tehran has been exploiting its groundwater aquifer systems. More than 60% of the water in dry years has been coming from such resources. Groundwater situation is not good, but it's not over. The officials are saying that only a few days of water is left, but we don't know if that's true. So it can be between a few days to a few weeks. But what we can see from the satellites is that most of those reservoirs available around Tehran are out of storage, out of water. So this is something we have not seen before. Some of those big reservoirs where, you know, a lot of people were using to water ski and have fun are now dead. You can walk across the river or across the reservoir. That means that the reservoirs are dead. Yet the issue of lack of transparency makes it hard to really understand the real status of the system, and only we can only rely on satellite images and the information available out there.
And what do you think are the roots and the leading
parts of Australia and US West? It started with the era that we refer to as the hydraulic mission era, in which the dominant mentality is that we have to capture every drop of water, don't let water flow into lakes, wetlands, and to the sea, and use that for beneficial purposes, for agriculture, for economic development, for industrial growth, and for developing our cities further. In some parts of the world, soon after implementing big projects like building dams, digging deeper wells and desalination, building more desalination plants and implementing water transfer projects, we learned that this model is not sustainable. It's affecting the environment. It's backfiring because the more you bring water, the more you promote the perception of water availability. And that would trigger more and more development, and that means more growth in water consumption. So every drop of water you bring would be soon used. There is a rebound effect there. And after that, we learned that we have to cap the available water, make sure that we do not use more and more water or take more water out of the nature, and create a balance between the needs and demands, and use some mechanisms like market and so on to make the system more efficient. Yet Iran has seen those symptoms of the problem. To be very careful about attributing a single extreme event to climate change, whether we are dealing with a flood, drought, wildfire, and so on, that's what science tells us. Governments and also media have the tendency to blame everything on climate change or climatize it. So that's one side of the story that we have to be careful about. On the other hand, we have a fact that climate change is making droughts more frequent and more intense in many parts of the world, including the Middle East, where the temperature is also rising. And that means even that water demand of the agricultural sector would increase as a result of the evapotranspiration. So water availability is becoming restricted on one side, and water consumption or demand is going on the other side. The situation is becoming worse. But let's not forget that we have causes and we have catalysts. Anywhere in the world, when it comes to failures in managing an extreme droughts, floods, or whatsoever, it's always the management that has to be kept accountable. In my opinion, Iran, like many other places, the water management system in Iran was already on fire. Now, climate change and drought is adding fuel to that fire. The flames can no longer be denied because they're too invisible.
And for the final question, do you have any hopes that things will get better?
Well, science tells us that nature is full of uncertainties and hydrologic cycles can shift from one mode to another. That makes me extremely hopeful that there would be rain. I'm now in Toronto. Yesterday we had the highest level of volume of snow in the last 55 years. And I can be hopeful that the Iranians also see something unusual, and that might be a temporary relief. So that's the best scenario, that they would never face the day zero, the water, the taps don't run completely dry, and the sky would be more generous.
In Sweden, we believe in just the right amount, embracing balance, minimalism, and simplicity. Something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice. Between petrol, plug-in hybrid, and fully electric, there's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you. Volvo.